Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 14. For the next number of weeks, I want to talk about peace. Not a piece of pie, but the other peace, the peace which we have through Christ. And just the general topic of the message will be just peace for Christmas. Do you realize that in the world, there are some 2 billion people that celebrate Christmas? And those are not all Christians. There are actually 160 nations that recognize Christmas as a central holiday in December. Now, I know that, you know, people can look at Christmas in different ways and different views. But here's my thing. Christmas, yes, it's not just necessarily about the presents. I remember growing up and I could not wait for the JCPenney or the Sears catalogs to come out, right? All 800 pages of them. They were that thick. Anybody under the age of 30 probably doesn't even know what a JCPenney catalog is. But I used to look at those and for hours look at the toys. The race car tracks. I always wanted one of those race car tracks where the car went up the wall and down. You remember seeing those? Yeah? Man, I had a figure eight one. My brother and I played with that for hours, just pushing that button, watching that car go faster and faster and faster. But looking at all the different toys, obviously we know that's not what Christmas is about now. It's about Jesus. It's about Him coming into this world and literally bringing peace with Him. So John chapter 14, verse 27, it says, I am leaving you with a gift, not a racetrack, but peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. You know, I think of our missionaries. I think of all the different things going on right now. There's so much unrest and uncertainty in the world. But we have somebody who has peace for us. He doesn't just give us peace. He is the peacemaker. In fact, if there's a title for today's message, it would be just that. The peacemaker. Not that he is just making peace between people, but he literally has made peace for us. Peace is missing in so much of our lives today. You could ask, where is the peace that we're supposed to be experiencing? You know, I turn on the television and I don't feel peaceful when I watch it. You know, I see the news, you see stuff going on, and there's just so much, whether it's political or social unrest. We don't live in times of peace. It's not a whole lot different than the times when Jesus was coming into this world as a baby, as God the Son, as an infant. But even then, the proclamation of the angel was in Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. I was trying to find all kinds of different things about just the unrest in our world today. We've mentioned a couple of them. But you know, the Bible says that in the last days there will be wars and rumors of wars and pestilences and earthquakes and all this chaos in our world. But there's some other things that we may not know. Do you know that daily 10,000 people die of hunger every single day? This one really got me. Annually, $347 billion are spent on illegal drugs. 5 billion cigarettes will be smoked today. $39 million abortions this year in the world. There's actually, I went on this website and it shows all these different stats that are taking place, some of them by the day, by the year, some of them by the minute. And I was watching the abortion counter and I timed it for 1 minute while I was just crying and praying at the same time. 80 abortions a minute in our world. 80 abortions a minute. I wouldn't say that we live in a time of peace. I would say probably more accurately to be said that anti-peace has become the greatest in our world today. And when I say anti-peace, I don't mean just that which is the opposite of peace or that which is fighting peace, but that which is trying to replace peace in this world. Now you look at some of those statistics. You know, someone could be smoking cigarettes thinking, oh, this makes me so much calmer. That's anti-peace. There could be that pregnant woman that's saying, if I didn't have this child, life could be so much better for me. That's anti-peace. Things that we try to replace the peace of God with in our lives. Oh, if we could just get rid of this president, then we could have peace. So many other things. You know, we look at politics, we look at the social world. There are so many things that we try to bring peace into this world with. You see, if you're missing peace, or if you know someone who is missing peace in their lives, right now, this Christmas season, here's where the hope comes in. I think that we could be those who bring the peacemaker into our lives and into the lives of other people. Do you realize that before the first Christmas ever took place, 700 years prior to that, it was prophesied that peace would come into the world? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I think I actually preached on this passage last year. Not this message, obviously. And I was going to look at it before I preached this morning, and I forgot to see what I preached on this time last year. But Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." Here's the focus: Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. This was 700 years before Jesus came to this world as a baby lying in a manger on that holy night, that silent night. I mean, I love singing Christmas carols because I try to put my mind and my place right in that place where Jesus was born. And then I'm singing these songs to Him. Here I am to worship. You know, light of the world came down into darkness. And I'm thinking about that and think, man, what would it be like to be able to be there on that night and sing, "Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God." Were the shepherds and were Mary and Joseph and the others, were they singing something like that and praising God the Son in that moment as He was bringing peace to the world? Now in the Hebrew, this word peace we read in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 is probably a word we've all heard many times. And it would be, what's the word for peace in Hebrew? Shalom. But we don't really understand or grasp the depth of what that word means. We hear the word shalom and we're like, oh, peace. Not peace. But you know, we hear, oh, peace be with you. But what does that even mean? What does the depth of this word shalom mean? It actually means this. It means to flourish. Have you ever said this to somebody? Well, I hope all goes well with you. Have you ever said that? Oh, my best wishes for you. What are our best wishes? Our best wishes are that the best happens in your life. That you flourish. That you do well. Shalom to the Hebrew means this. It doesn't mean the absence of conflict or war. But the heart of the word is that all is well, that you flourish. This is what God intended for when His Son came to the world, that the world would flourish again, that we would flourish again as we were reunited with Him in relationship. You see, as Jesus comes, He will bring flourishing into the world, into our families, into our community, into our lives. As we allow Jesus to come into us in our lives, we flourish in Him. Think about this. When the angel came and proclaimed in Luke chapter 2, a child is born. That was the most unpeaceful night in a long time. It was chaotic. It was crazy. The political climate was crazy. Just like it is now. I think I did talk about this last year, but you know, Rome was the superpower, but there was also powers from the east that were coming to try to usurp their authority. There was chaos in politics and in society. It's interesting though that this was a time where military force was the primary way in which people tried, or Rome tried to force peace upon them. It's called Pax Romana. Peace through the force of the nation. Caesar Augustus was the one who was the Caesar at that time, and he was the one that was enforcing this in any place where they ruled. It's interesting, there's actually something also called Pax Americana. Do you remember that? After World War II, where basically the U.S. became the superpower, and the world said, there is peace through the power of the United States. This is actually starting to crumble now in our time even. We're no longer that focus of the one who's sort of holding the world together. It's been said, you know, well, we're not the police of the world. It's not our job to keep the peace everywhere, which is true. The peace of Rome didn't last, obviously. But what I know is this, we are still worshiping the Prince of Peace today. Amen. The one who brings peace into our lives, the peacemaker, is a person. His name is Jesus. So peace for Israel. I mean, during that time when Jesus was coming into this world as a baby, Herod was the appointed ruler over Israel at that time. Israel was an occupied territory. There was this forced census where, of course, you know, you have Mary and Joseph having to travel all that distance to Bethlehem to be counted. She was just about to be having a baby, traveling across the country. You can't tell me there was peace in that. When they arrived, there was no place for them. They're stuck in a cave, lonely at night, away from family, with an uncertain future. In that context, that was literally a night without peace. But the Prince of Peace is about to be born. God makes this announcement through the angels. A baby king is to be born. And he shall be the Prince of Peace and offer peace to all who turn to him. This is what we have as believers. This is the gift that we should be bringing to others as believers. Today, God is still announcing the same thing, that the Prince of Peace is here for the world. But yet again, so many people live without peace, live with uncertainty and chaos in their lives. Another statistic I read, 128 people in the United States alone every day take their lives. 5 people a minute. The amount exponentially increases in rural areas. You know, in a time where it seems like on the surface our country may be politically in chaos, but economically flourishing right now. Black Friday again, this last Black Friday, the largest sales in a number of years, record sales. But yet, with all this stuff that's taking place, there's something missing and has been missed in the lives of literally 47,000 people in our country. Who said, how can I live here? I have no peace. I have no hope. People need Jesus, folks. Amen. This Christmas season, people need Jesus. Psalm 118, verse 17 says, I will not die. Instead, I will live to tell what the Lord has done. What has he done in your life? What are you proclaiming to those who need to hear about the peace that God has to offer through his Son, the Prince of Peace? So many people around us are in this desperate place, completely missing peace in their lives. See all these other things around, and this Christmas season where we celebrate the coming of our Lord, peace is the greatest gift we can give. In a world that is absent of peace, God is constantly proclaiming it by the voice of the Holy Spirit, an invitation to come into peace. There is a peacemaker who is the Prince of Peace. Amen? Amen? Let's get into our points this morning. Number one is this. God's way has always been one of peace. His pathway to him, how he wanted his creation to be maintained, has always been in peace. Shalom is the standard of God. That's what he expects and always has. Peace in this world. Peace in our lives. You see, we are heading into a future where shalom, or peace, will be everything. Think about this. One day you will take your last breath on this earth. And you will enter into this place of flourishing. This place of peace. This place where it is as good as it could get and will get. Everything that God intended the world to be is found in heaven. The absence of war, the absence of suffering, the absence of brokenness. In Revelation chapter 21, we have this time in the book of Revelation where it says the old heavens have disappeared, the great white throne judgment has happened, and God is bringing a new Jerusalem and with a new heavens and a new earth. And he describes it in this way in verse 3. He says, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no sorrow, no crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. This is the standard which is to come in our future that God has always intended for his creation. This is our future. Because God has always had a standard of peace, or shalom, for us. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to be in verse 19, but then go back to verse 17. But it says in Proverbs 3:19, it says, by wisdom the Lord founded the earth. By understanding, he created the heavens. Now here's the thing. God is perfect in all of his creation. He made no mistakes in how he made anything. Right. Now drop back to verse 17. In the New King James Version, it says, her ways are pleasantness. Now, her ways are referring to wisdom, okay? And all her paths are peace. See, every path that God created was intended for this standard of peace in our lives. In the Old Testament, the priests would give a blessing. Here's what they would say. Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. It says, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. God's standard has always been peace in our lives. When I look at my life, when you look at your life, if you feel like there is chaos or turmoil or uncertainty, make a course correction. Maybe your standard hasn't been focused on God's standard. His standard is peace. The way we maintain that peace is by focusing on the Prince of Peace. God has always intended for us, for his world, to flourish. This is his plan. Which comes to my second point. Peace was the standard. But tragedy is our reality. I mean, it can't just be me. We probably all had this thought. Well, yeah, I serve the Prince of Peace, but my life sure doesn't feel very peaceful right now. Feels pretty chaotic to me. That's our reality. We do live in tragedy in this life. See, there's a story in all of us today. There's a part in all of us today that is not flourishing. That is not doing better. In fact, often it feels like it's falling apart. It may be a bad medical diagnosis. It may be your family breaking up, a friendship that's been severed, a business that's failed. I can just say government. And nothing more has to be said. It's crazy. Tragedy is our reality. But peace is God's plan. See, everything in our life has a pull of sin that tries to tear apart peace. It fights against God's plan. Peace was broken with God in the garden. Shortly after that, it was broken among people as Cain killed Abel. A little bit after that, the whole world was in chaos, the flood. There is a lack of peace with God, a lack of peace with people, and a lack of peace in our world today. In Romans chapter 8, verse 20, it says, against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up into the present time. What is the world groaning about? The lack of peace, the chaos, the troubles. Even the world sees this. Now, you may not know this about me. Some of you might. Some of you do. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I'm often thinking about what's the next bad thing to happen. I'm not a pessimist. I'm a prepper. I'm not a prepper either. But I am prepared. You know, I try to think of what's to come in this world. And one of the things that really got me, Russ knows this, Kyler knows this. Actually, Kyler's the one that got me onto this, was did you guys get that text and that phone call or that message from the state of Washington recently? It's like the emergency thing, and they're talking about the big earthquake to come. I didn't know what this was. I thought, why am I getting this phone call? And then I go to check the church messages, and it's on the church message too. So I'm talking to Pastor Kyler. I'm talking to Russ. I'm like, what is this? And it's that Cascadia fault line thing, the big earthquake that happens every 300 years that we're like 50 years overdue for. They say it's going to be like a 9.0 for like 4 minutes straight. And so I'm looking at all this stuff on YouTube about the Cascadia meltdown or shakeup or whatever it's called. And there's like Cairo News has all these little snippets about it. And these universities are talking about all this stuff. I'm thinking, I'm glad I live on the east side of I-5. But anyways, one of the major things that's supposed to be taking place, this earthquake to come that we're overdue for, is something called liquefied soil. And so I started looking up liquefied soil and what these earthquakes do and seeing the different ones that are taking place. And you can see, this is again why the world is in chaos and then the world itself is being torn apart. It's where you see those big pictures of like where the highways are just like sunken or these big cracks are open in the earth. It happens from these earthquakes, you know. I think back to the original Superman when he is, you know, the shaking and the earth cracks and breaks open. Or Indiana Jones, you know, the last one where all of a sudden the earth cracks open and he's like falling down into these cracks, you know. The earth is not at a place of peace. In fact, the earth is groaning, breaking apart, looking forward to the peace found in God. It longs for the God standard of peace to be brought back to the world. Unfortunately, our reality is tragedy. But there is good news. Point number three. God's solution is not a plan for peace. It's not a peace plan. But a person of peace. Jesus. We live in this time where everybody's looking for plans for peace. Well, if we can get this group and this group together, then we can bring maybe this plan to bring peace into their lives. Well, if we can prepare in this way, then we can make sure that when the unrest comes, we'll still have peace and security for us. But God never planned peace to be a plan. It's a person. Peace is not based on circumstances being fixed or made right in our lives. Again, let's go back to Mary and Joseph. Oh, if we just had a little bit more money, or if we didn't have to travel to Bethlehem, it wasn't about their circumstances that was going to bring peace into their lives. It was that silent night when the Savior was born. Jesus brought peace. It wasn't the angels. I don't know about you. I've never seen an angel. But wouldn't that be cool? Now, the shepherds, this says they were terrified. In fact, every time an angel comes into the scene in the Bible, they always have to say, hey, hold on, it's okay. You're not going to die. I just have a message for you. So we may think, man, if I saw an angel, imagine the books I could write. Imagine the prestige I could have. If I saw an angel, I'd have peace. No, an angel didn't bring peace either. It wasn't a possession. You know, the myrrh, the gold, the incense, all those things, they were worth a lot of money. But those things did not bring peace to Mary and Joseph either. The only one who could bring peace is Jesus. Nothing else can guarantee peace in our life. Peace came to us in a person. Isaiah 9:6, for a child is born to us, a son is given. It didn't say a plan was given, a son was. And he is the Prince of Peace. God was literally, when Jesus came back into when he came into this world, God was like extending peace to mankind. Have you ever heard the phrase, extend an olive branch of peace? know, you can even see, like, if you look at the United Nations flag, it shows the whole world and it shows these olive branches on the side. It's their hope for world peace. That was taken from the Bible. It was God who started with this olive branch to give peace. In fact, it was in Genesis chapter 8, after the great flood, what did Noah do? Noah sent out a dove, right? And the dove could find no place to rest, so he came back to Noah, meaning that the waters had not receded to where they could come out of the ark. He sent the dove out again, and the dove came back with an olive branch, signifying that there's some place on the surface of the earth that was dry, where an olive tree could be growing, but the symbolism of this was peace. Because understand, the flood was craziness. It was chaos. It was destruction. So when that dove brought back an olive branch, it was telling Noah, okay, the waters are falling back. You're in a place of peace. Now the third time he sent the dove out, the dove never came back. He said, hey, all is good. What was broken in Genesis chapter 8, God showed peace through an olive branch. It's become this universal symbol of peace in our lives, in our world today. Peace can change you. It saves our lives. But we must know how to get it. And the only way we can have peace is through the person Jesus. God the Father has extended peace to us through his Son. Jesus is literally God's olive branch to humanity. We have this longing for peace. Zacharias prophesied this through the Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 1. It says, because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to a path of peace. Isaiah 53, verse 5, this is in the New King James Version. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Jesus is our shalom. He is the one that makes us flourish, that brings us right with God. He is the olive branch that the Father said, you have to take this if you want peace in your life. It's interesting. The reason why I talked about Noah and this olive branch is because, you know, a dove brought Noah an olive branch. Jesus would later, in his time here on earth, towards the end of his time here on earth, would pray under an olive tree in the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives. Isn't it interesting that as he's preparing to go to the cross to bring peace to us, that he is there in a grove, in an orchard of olive trees? Did you know that the word Gethsemane, it means the place of olive press? This is the place where they pressed the olives and made olive oil. Did you know that the Messiah means the anointed one? And there's a whole lot to talk about this, but Jesus was anointed with peace for us. It's under this canopy of olive trees that Jesus was saying, I will offer myself as peace for the world. Understand, God makes no mistakes. Amen. The way he intended for us to be brought back to him is through this olive branch of his Son in peace, who was pressed, who was anointed and given for you and for me. Romans chapter 4, verses 25, and then chapter 5, verse 1. It says, this is in reference to Jesus. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. This is the gift that we have of peace. This is the peacemaker. This is the Prince of Peace. How many of the people who are suffering in this world not only suffer from maybe their own personal afflictions or struggles with the world, but they struggle and have fights because they're at enmity with God. They're fighting against God because they're not at peace with Him. This is why we have to have Jesus in our lives. This is why we need to introduce Him to those that we know in our lives this Christmas season. It's not just about getting chocolate or stocking stuffers or new guns, which are very much so welcomed. It's about Jesus. How many of you are going to bring peace, this gift of peace in the person of Christ, to those who need Him in your life, who are suffering, struggling against God, other people, and the world? If you're looking for peace, if you know somebody who is looking for peace, you or they need to be connected with the Prince of Peace. Because peace is not found in the presence, with a T. It's not in a tree. It's not in the angels. It's not the star in the sky. It's in the Savior. Peace was found in a baby. Jesus. Laying in a manger. Bring peace to somebody this year. I want to end with a verse we started with, John chapter 14, verse 27. I am leaving you with a gift. This is Jesus saying this. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. That's my encouragement to you this morning. This Christmas season, as Christians, we know that we should focus on Jesus and He's the reason for the season. We know all the cliches. But let peace come into your life and help others bring peace into their lives through Christ this day. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for Your Son. I thank You that You have thought of everything, that Your plan was perfect because Your plan was a person. Your plan is Your Son, Jesus, to bring peace back into this world. Father, I just declare through Your word and through Your power, shalom, or peace upon every single person in this place, every family, every business. Lord, let the world see flourishing through the body of Christ, through this church family, God, that they would be drawn to You. Lord, put us in positions to where people say, why is there something different about You? Why is it when there's chaos all around, You still seem to stand strong? You're still certain. You still have peace in your life. Why do You have this peace? How can I find this peace? And Lord, give us the wisdom and the boldness to say, it's because of Jesus. It's because the Prince of Peace is in my life. And then Father, help us to not leave it there, but then to take a step further and say, and He can be in your life too. Lord, You have given us this ministry of reconciliation for the world. I ask that this Christmas season, Lord, that we'd be ambassadors of Your Son. That we'd be peace carriers. And that we'd share this gift with the world. Father, I love You. I thank You for this day. I thank You for our church. In Jesus' name, amen.